Tonight at midnight, the Department of Homeland Security will begin to shut down, except for essential operations. Democrats here in Washington are refusing to fund the agency unless it changes how it conducts its immigration crackdown. Part of the outcry has been the agency's treatment of U.S. citizens. Our Lisa Desjardins has more on that.
William, there was an uproar last month following the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy by immigration officers. But videos from across the country have shown months of other violent interactions, including with U.S. citizens. We reached out and heard from three of them.
My name is George Redes. I was born and raised here in Ventura, California. I'm 26 years old, and I am an Iraq combat veteran.
My name is Alia Rahman. I was born in northern Wisconsin, grew up in Bangladesh. I now live in Minneapolis.
My name is Gina Christ, and I live in St. Louis Park, Minnesota.
I was going to work like normal. I show up, ICE is there. There's kind of like a roadblock. I get out, I identify myself or that I'm a U.S. citizen, that I'm just trying to get to work.
So I came upon a traffic jam that I pretty quickly realized was ICE.
I was on my way to work and I honestly thought, I'm going to observe or, you know, I'm going to, you know, try to help slow something down.
I'm trying to leave.
I'm getting ready to leave and they're surround my car, start banging on it, start shouting these contradictory orders.
I was told, move! I will break your effing window! And you know, I couldn't get a clear answer to where they wanted me to move to.
There's people all around my car, and so I have both hands up on either side of my face. I have both hands up on either side of my face, and you cannot hear me.
Very quickly, I was pulled out of that car. I fell twice, once right outside the car that you can see, once behind the car, face down.
An ICE agent breaks my driver's side window glass, reaches in, opens my door, pulls me out of the door, tells me to get on the ground, zip ties me, and now gas, flashbangs, pepper spray.
Even though I was giving them no reason, they still felt the need to one agent nail on my back and another agent nail on my neck. And during that time, I'm just pleading with them that I couldn't breathe.
I am disabled. I am autistic. I have a brain injury. And when I hit that ground face first, I just experienced shooting pain through my neck, through my head. My vision became blurry.
There was no need. They detoured to grab me. They could have continued to drive. Their cars were past my car. They passed my car, jumped out of their cars, apprehended me, and kept going.
What happened to me in detention was far worse than what happened to me on camera. What happened to me in detention was a complete stripping of my rights.
Once I was kind of detained, it was very like, do you have water? Are you comfortable? How's the heat? You know, it was a very schizophrenic experience. And I spent an enormous amount of time, most of my time in my head, trying to figure out what was really, really going on.
I was in isolation. I was in basically this concrete cell. I was stripped naked in like a hospital gown. They leave the lights on 24/7.
Nobody knew I was there. I wasn't told where I was going. I wasn't given a phone call, and I'm going unconscious, and I'm wondering, is this it? They call us bodies. Is this it for me? Am I going to die?
DHS came out, and they said that I was violent and that I assaulted agents. Why lie when it's on video of everything that happened? Why lie?
I mean, this is insane, you know. This isn't anything that could minutely be referred to as a couple of bad apples, you know, which is, you know, what we heard for years and years and years.
I want to live in a country where people who are enforcing the law treat people humanely.
In response to our request, DHS sent a statement about all three of these cases. Here are some key quotes. The agency insisted if a U.S. citizen is arrested, it is because they have obstructed or assaulted law enforcement. In many cases, even after arrest, charges are never filed. They were not filed in these cases. The agency said there can be myriad reasons for that, but it did not provide any of those reasons. William, some of the statement they sent us is contrary to the evidence that we have seen. For example, the agency referred to Alia Rahman as an agitator. We know she was on her way to work. There's no other evidence about her. DHS added that George Retes, in their opinion, the veteran, they said he refused to move his car. The video shows him moving his car. I raise this because, as Tom Homan says, he's de-escalating in Minnesota. Right now, DHS is digging in on blaming Americans without evidence.
Lisa, you were at two of those hearings on Capitol Hill this week where ICE and CBP officials were asked about some of these things. How did they respond?
Well, the leaders of ICE and Customs and Border Protection did say some things like pepper spraying inside of a car or using a canister as a weapon are wrong unless there's no other defense for an officer. But they didn't admit any specific mistakes, and they didn't address any idea of systemic problems here. Specifically relevant to our story, the ICE director, acting director Todd Lyons, was asked about the detention of and the treatment of American citizens.
Under Title 8, no U.S. citizen is subject to civil immigration enforcement, and that just doesn't happen. There are multiple safeguards in that way, and if a U.S. citizen is detained in the course of an immigration investigation, they're quickly released. We don't take action on American citizens.
But the interviews we just said counter that. That's just flatly not true. You know, we know that CBP has repeatedly acted against American citizens, and these are just a few of the stories. There are more. Alia Rahman said her point is, if this is how U.S. citizens like her were treated, what about people who are not citizens?
Right. And another part of the issue here that people may not realize is that people who go to court with these cases, they don't have the same rights that we would expect. Explain.
This is because of federal law, a specific statute, in fact, about civil rights when they're violated. Here, I want to take a look at this. This is a section of code about who you can sue for civil rights violations. It says those acting under color of statute or ordinance, meaning law enforcement, acting for the government. But look at this. It says if that government is a state or territory. So, William, it does not say the United States itself. And because of this, courts have said there's a very narrow lane that you can use to sue officers of the United States. This is not a hard fix. It's something that people want to include in negotiations underway right now over DHS. But talking to some experts, especially some experts from Cato, a man named Mike Fox, he told me he thinks that what Democrats are asking for actually may have less impact than changing this.
If I tell you you can't wear masks, but nothing happens when you do, what does that do? That's why it's so fundamentally important that Congress add a component that allows you to sue for constitutional violations and then precludes the actors, the government agents, from benefiting from immunity.
Advocates are pushing for this to be part of the talks, but my reporting is there's no evidence that it is.
All right, Lisa Desjardins, thank you so much.
You're welcome.